This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project.
All right, Project, welcome back to this episode, live streaming again on YouTube. I feel like a tech boss right now. And we, of course, today are going to be talking about what the title talks about, 5 ways to make cardio fun. Now, I thought this was an important episode because for some reason, cardio has a stigma around it. Either firstly, it's just for girls, or secondly, it's like something you do that loses your gains. And so,
it's boring as well, right?
Yeah, like it's walking on stairs, or it's running on a treadmill, or it's pedaling on a bike. It's pretty stationary, pretty repetitive, pretty monotonous. And we wanted to just give you some ideas, 5 of the what we think are the best ways to make sure cardio is exciting and cardio is fun, because yeah, for many people it's just not, and it can be a really fun thing. Look, at the end of the day, sport is cardio and sport is fun.
Fucking fun.
It is awesome. So there are many ways that we can spice it up, but we'll kind of keep it restricted to the gym. But before we dive into this episode, as one of the companies you know we love and we use every single day is Manscaped. They use basically what is some of the most innovative technology when it comes to cutting hair on your body to protect you, protect your skin. They have this product called the Lawnmower, which we use to manscape. If you don't know what manscaping is, essentially it's making sure that all the hair below your eyebrows is completely gone. So manscaping, becoming more and more popular.
It can be well kept, right?
Or is it, yeah, I mean, it's got, gone? Well, it depends on your preference, right? Yeah. Some people like the 5 o'clock shadow. Some people like the baby's bottom. Mm. It just depends. But Manscaped basically providing all those products for men, all the creams, all the gels, all the sprays, stuff like foot deodorant, stuff like ball deodorant. They've got body wash. They're just sort of everything. Anyway, I would recommend picking up the hygiene pack. They also now have the Weed Whacker, which is essentially the nasal hair trimmer as well that you can pick up. You pick up all these products at manscaped.com. So really, guys, if you haven't heard already, that you know, the surveys say that women prefer, not 80 plus percent of women prefer guys that are manscaped. So if you're definitely not taking care of it at all, it's actually a turnoff for girls. Even if you're in a relationship, it can be a turnoff, or things can be better. Anyway, our code is MMP20, MMP20, no spaces. That's going to get you 20% off any website, any Manscaped website, a global EU, US, Australia website. So definitely go check that out. So next sponsor supporting the show. I'm just throwing it over to you, bro. Yeah, he's got no idea. That's how much a professional Raf is. So some of the ways that we'll go over the 5 episodes, you're going to throw it at me right now.
True protein.
True protein, of course. If you guys are interested in picking up any of the true protein products, remember creatine is the number one product I take every morning, the creatine monohydrate. You guys can pick it up at the True Protein store. The reason I recommend this creatine is because all other creatines have stuff added to them, and even the most pure version of creatine, because they use CreaPure, which is manufactured in Germany, but people still mix CreaPure with other things. True Protein just gives you CreaPure just straight, and that's what you want if you're picking a creatine product. So I'd recommend picking up a few bags of the creatine mono.
And you can add it to whatever you want. But yeah, the more point is you just want to get that exactly what you're asking for from the manufacturer.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So trueprotein.com.au, our code is MINDMUSCLE10, MINDMUSCLE10, and you can get 10% off any of those products. Cool. All right, so let's get into the 5 ways that we make cardio fun. And I'll be the first to say that when I was adding weight to my body, cardio was the last thing I was interested in doing. But of recently, I've realized how important it is and how much I do enjoy it when I factor in these 5 things. So the first thing is to make cardio more enjoyable is to get outdoors. I can't stress this enough. We spend enough time indoors these days. And although certain gyms and cardio styles lend themselves better to being indoors, in gyms, it can be beneficial for your mental health to get out in nature and get outdoors.
Yeah, it's totally different feeling, right? And it just lends itself so well to being outdoors. Strength training is challenging to do outdoors. People do pull it off, but I just think generally, if you want to lift heavy, like, it just works really well indoors, right? You just don't want the elements too much when you're going on a heavy back squat. You don't want the rain going sideways in your face.
Well, maybe you do.
Maybe you do. But yeah, potentially it can be adverse, but outdoors for exercise, you just kill like 5 birds with 1 stone. Yeah, you get like your sunlight.
It's a lot of birds, bro.
You get like your...
It's one hell of a stone.
You get your time in green areas. Really, you just get out of like often aircon environments that you know you can get really, really sick of after a certain time. And you can still get the most out of your cardio in that environment.
I would think that a lot of people, the last time they actually did some kind of workout outdoors was probably a long time, especially with COVID and everything that's happening now and the fear that's around that. Getting outdoors, I mean, getting into a park and doing a run, doing some burpees, swinging a kettlebell, doing some dumbbells, that was probably one of the things, one of the silver linings that came out of the first lockdown is fortunately in Sydney, we were at a point where we could still train people in the park.
People got more into it.
Yeah. People really enjoyed it. They're like, wow, okay, I'm not set on this forever, but right now I am really enjoying working out in the park. It's in the sun, you know, it's, there's nothing, I really enjoy that period where you kind of get to whatever, because this is when I was swimming, when I was doing some athletics as well, is early morning workouts and it's kind of dark when you start and then the sun is rising during your session. That is an awesome feeling.
Yeah, there's almost no better. And stuff like running as well. You know, I think also the added factor of like the elements, sometimes it's like it's windy, sometimes it's raining. It's just like a new challenge in there. And it can be like a mentally a bit harder for you sometimes. Not always perfect like in your gym. And that can be a good way to break out of it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, getting outdoors in a park, on the beach, in the water. I mean, obviously, you can add in the ocean if that's available to you. There's just so many different ways that you can do it. And I also think as well, if you can train in heat outdoors as well, you're going to get like a physical advantage by making things more difficult for yourself. You're going to get like heat conditioning. And the more tolerant your body is of heat, the better it is at cooling itself, which is obviously an adaptation of people that train in hotter climates. The fitter you're going to be, because temperature regulation, core body temperature regulation, is basically a symptom of fitness. So, the better your body can keep itself cool, the fitter you are.
Yeah, and I would say I'll go on a limb just to finish this is that I think it translates better to nearly anything you want to use your fitness for. So very often you want to stay in shape so you can jump in on any like pickup basketball game, touch soccer game. That's like the reasons you want to stay fit, right? You go out surfing, it's like a really hard day, you can like hang with, right? You just can't get gassed out. Nearly every activity you want your fitness for is outdoors. Never indoors. So you want to be really good in the heat. You want to be really good in the cold. Like you want to be, you know, be a beast in every circumstance.
Yeah, absolutely. So the second thing that makes cardio fun is attaching data to it. So getting data. Now, the most common ways to do this for us is the Whoop band. People like Garmin's, Apple Watches, heart rate straps. If you're doing it on like a bike or some kind of piece of equipment like a rower, SkiErg is using that data there. The reason is because when you get data is you can, you know, integrate it with a community of other people. It becomes comparable. And so as a result, even you can, you know, it becomes comparable with yourself. You now have a data set in which you have some numbers, you have something tangible, something contextual that you can use to improve your sessions in the future to say, okay, I trained this hard today. I burnt this many calories today. My heart rate was in this zone today. You know, I'm going to get these benefits from this training session today. It's just what we as humans love to do. We love to attach numbers to these things and try and improve those numbers or just to gather data and then analyze that data later, even if we don't want to, you know, improve it on a session-to-session basis.
Yeah, you'd never get the most out of your fitness unless you do some data gathering.
Yeah.
You know, you never push as hard. You know, I remember once I had this air bike cycle and I would just go in, I think it was every like Saturday afternoon or Sunday, some time where I'd always have trained by myself and I would just have my intervals. I would just see what I did. It was like a 10-week block and then you repeated the whole 10 weeks. So the second 10 weeks, you were trying to beat what you did basically like 10 weeks earlier in the first block through it. And just go in and you just see your time from 10 weeks ago. You're like, okay, I hope I'm better than then. Kill yourself trying to do it. If you never, you know, accurately put down your scores and tracked it over time, there's no way you would give the same effort.
Yeah.
Right? You just would be like, this is so hard. There's no way I can get that score. But when you see you've got it in the past, helps you get that extra bit. If you went and did weights and you never looked at the weight on the bar, you just push random shit, like you probably wouldn't improve very far, right? You're like, oh, this feels heavy.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just leave it there.
Yeah.
Right? If you were just like adding on weights and you never saw the number, same thing with the cardio. And there's so many different ways. Often with cardio, you got to buy something. Like you might need to buy a Garmin watch if you're running. You might need some sort of strap or you might need like a row. You might need a SkiErg, but it's worth it. When I see people in the gym and they're just like doing those bikes that don't have a screen, I'm like, okay, there is some benefit to that, but you're better off with one with a screen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like our coach Mother, how he ran. So this guy, this local guy in Sydney, was doing 50 marathons in 50 days to raise money for some charity. And our coach Mother is quite a good runner, and he ran with him on his last half marathon. So jumped in halfway in his last marathon, and You know, one thing I observed when running in Centennial Park is it's like where all the best runners in Sydney go, because you can get like a pretty undisturbed, like straight 4 kilometers loop. What you notice with these guys is they check their watch constantly, yeah, like constantly, because they're trying to stay on pace. Like I'm talking about is checking a watch every 5 or 6 seconds, maybe for a good 2 or 3 minutes, trying to sustain a pace. And Muzzle's saying it's hard because you really want to stay on a pace, but you're like constantly worried that you're falling off the pace. But he said the reason, so he jumped in on this last half marathon and the guy was running like under 3 hour marathon pace, right? Which is crazy for his last marathon. And Muzz said, he broke his like 5K and his 10K PB and his half marathon PB all in the one session because wow, he was just with pace setters. So yeah, he didn't have to worry about pace. All he had to worry about was staying with the pack. And he said that is what he's never done before. He's never had like a pack going at a certain pace because they knew exactly what their pace is. They're way more in tune to their pace. And he was like, all I have to do, I don't have to check my watch, I don't have to check my heart rate.
Stay with him.
Just stay with him, no matter what. And that's how he PB'd everything, because he wasn't checking things constantly and getting in his own head and slowing things down and making excuses. He was just like, hang on. And so that's what I thought was pretty cool. And that is in some way related to data, because it's based off pace. And sort of my own example with data as well is like just rowing times. And we used to do rowing times. And it's so simple. It's like, okay, hold this pace for this long and you'll get there. That's a set of data. And that is what pushes you to the limit, because you're holding on to those numbers for dear life. And it's why so many CrossFitters watch the CrossFit Games and think they can qualify, because the data sets are so relatable. Like the data set of LeBron James when he performs in the finals versus the guy sitting at home, the data sets are not comparable.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I got this many rebounds. It's like, well, you're playing against different players.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, but if it's a barbell and a rower and Froning does 4 minutes 12 at that weight, you can go test it, because the data sets are so accurate. So data can make cardio absolutely more fun. So third thing, I'm actually enjoying this topic. Third thing is mixed modal work. So obviously cardio was as mixed as it got was a triathlon. You know, it was running, it was swimming, it was biking, it was rowing, and then someone thought, oh, let's like do all three in one race. And that's probably about as exciting as it got during the 90s outside of sport, until the invention of CrossFit in sort of the mid to late 2000s. And that was when we turned all kinds of different exercises into a cardio version, if you want a lack of a better term. So rather than making a Olympic weightlifting snatch, which is done for one rep, let's take the weight way back and let's do it for 30, and let's turn that into cardio. Look, obviously it's going to have some criticism. There's going to be people that say it's right, some people that say it's wrong, but regardless, it happened, it's here. There is a way to combine all sorts of exercises, which was obviously being done, you know, CrossFit were not the first people to combine jumping on a box with flipping a tire with doing pull-ups, but they were definitely the first people to kind of commercialize it and make it mainstream. And I think a lot of people that didn't like cardio in the past but like that sort of stuff found a cool, exciting, fun way to combine exercises they like and that are challenging and get the cardio that they need.
Yeah, there's so many benefits too, which is why it's ridiculously popular now. Mixed modal, so popular now, people just, it's like, take it for granted. It's like what you do for cardio. But one of the best ones about it is just, yeah, it's such a different psychological challenge to just, I guess, running at a certain pace, you know, which can get boring, maybe in the long term, or maybe doesn't fit with your personality type. I think there's some personalities that like that, some personalities that drive way more towards mixed modal training.
Yeah.
And the good thing about mixed modal training is that it definitely has more carryover into other things, because you can train so many different aspects of fitness in a fitness session, you know, compared to just sitting on a rower or sitting on a treadmill or running on a treadmill. So there's a lot of benefits there. And I would say, having done it and then trying different sports, I do think it translates really well into a lot of sports as well, because it teaches you how to, you know, have heaps of blood flow in your arms and then go straight to your legs and then back up to your arms, you know, back and forth, as opposed to just like riding a bike, you know, your legs are full of blood and it stays that way for hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's not a particularly pragmatic fitness, just getting good in one modality. Like, I think someone said to me the other day, they were just taking a guess. They don't really know anything about fitness. They were like, oh, if you like got really good at running, it'd be like the one thing that if you're really good at, it'd translate really well to just all fitness types. And I was like, not really.
Yeah,
no, running helps running. That's as far as it goes. Because like, there's been some amazing runners in here, but let me give them a squatting workout with pull-ups. They're one of the worst people in here, because there's just so many, the more movements you can get good at fatigued, the better. Like, just the more skills you have, the more fitness you'll have. That's why the CrossFit athlete is kind of the most capable in real life, because they've hit so many different time domains, they've hit so many different zones and levels of intensities, and they've hit in so many different planes of movement compared to most people that just run on the treadmill or go for a walk, ride a bike. And then obviously there's even higher levels of fitness and variations on top of that. But just for the common person, if I'm on the phone to a new client prospect and they're like, I've done CrossFit, they're generally the most capable person that I could come across versus someone who's like, I've done F45, I've done Orange Theory, I've done a boot camp, I've done personal training, I've done my own thing in the gym. Someone says I've done CrossFit for 3 or 4 years, I'm like, pretty safe to say this person's probably the most capable person, probably the most injured person, but definitely the most capable person. But to bring it all back, I think CrossFit did so well is because mixed modal training was so fun.
It's so fucking fun. And I mean, you can also just combine things you really like.
Yeah.
That's one of the best bits, right? Yeah. It's like, man, I love bench. I like lunges. I love like the ski erg machine. I feel like a beast on that machine. You just combine all the things you really enjoy. And it's a way that, you know, I track my heart rate. My heart rate's super high still doing these movements. So I'm still getting the benefits, but the level of enjoyment is just skyrockets, right?
And groundbreaking revelation, when you don't care about competing in CrossFit, you can just make workouts that are fun and enjoyable. You don't have to suffer through your weaknesses constantly. And this is one thing that did, I think, turn us off a little bit off CrossFit workouts, is it because every CrossFit workout we did was like our weakness. Mm. It was like, cool, we'll do rowing, but we're going to mix it in with 7 things you suck at. So you just, it's hard the whole time, right?
You know, which obviously sounds good, but it's not always the best thing for your body, because often the reason you suck at it is like, hey, for whatever reasons, you know, your limb lengths and also just your previous exercise history and sporting history, this movement like doesn't go well for your body.
Yeah.
You have to hammer it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that way.
Does not have to be that way. Okay. Fourth thing is kind of ties into the second point, which is get data, but is to make it competitive. Mm. Obviously, this is one thing that you need to exercise with caution. No pun intended, because sometimes competition in certain movements can be dangerous. And can push you to injure yourself, which is, you know, one of the biggest reasons people get injured in CrossFit gyms, besides not being taught the movements correctly, is that they go hard and compete against other people when they're not ready to compete. But let's say you're in a scenario where you can compete and you are ready, it does make it much more enjoyable.
Yes.
Much more. It's a sport, basically.
And to be frank, cardio is the place to compete more than strength training.
Yeah.
Because strength training can get pretty hairy. Maybe it's not the best place to be like, man, I knew I couldn't lift that bar, but I just tried it anyway to try and beat my friend. Usually not the best option when it comes to your strength work. Not. But conditioning, man, if you just try and kill yourself on a bike, it's all going to be good.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be a little bit tougher for the experience. Yeah. And this does make it fun. Like Lockie said, I definitely don't believe in trying to compete on your cardio 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Because you still obviously...
Once a week.
Yeah, you're going to enjoy it, but you're not really going to progress, right? It's not meant to be a competition every day, but once a week... or twice a week, definitely, you can still compete on your cardio. Mm-hmm. And it's super fun. It's definitely going to push you. Cardio is just one of those ones that I just truly never think you'll get the most out of it until you compete.
Mm.
You know, I remember I even said that story once on the after show, right? It's like, did a random workout on the bike. I think it was 500 calories for time. Posted it on Instagram. And then someone sent me back like a better time.
Mm.
And straight away, the next week, I went like 5 minutes better just to try and beat him, because I had some sort of competition, right?
Mm.
So that's just how you get the most out of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean... even now, they're taking it outside of the gyms and the face-to-face experience, and we're turning it into a completely digital community. I mean, look at Strava. Mm. It's like one of the most popular running apps, or the most popular running app in the world. It's basically just a big competition between everyone who's just running different lengths for different speeds and different times. And I mean, CrossFit Open, that was the biggest online competition in the world for fitness. There's so many different ways that you can make fitness competitive. And at least for me, and I know most people are competitive, as long as you can find someone that is in a similar age, demographic, weight range, ability level, everyone will find it competitive. Because, some people say, oh, I'm not a competitive person. It's usually because they come last at whatever they're doing, or they suck at what they're doing. But if you can find someone that you can beat on any day, but only by a hair, you'll become competitive. You'll think, I've got a chance here. And look, even if you're not that person, which I think everyone is, even if you're not, you can compete against yourself.
Mm.
You know, you can take the data and you can go, this is my last score. I'm going to beat that last score. You can even be competitive on things now like Whoop. I know Whoop's not necessarily tied particularly to cardio, but you can compete on things like recovery, compete on things like trying to get more sleep than other people on the sleep leaderboards. Competition drives a lot of progress. I believe, all of the great... I mean, look at the space race, right? It was a competition between USA and Russia for... flexing their technology muscles. So Competition, I think, is great. And I think that don't be afraid to incorporate it into your cardio where you can. I think it's only going to benefit you.
Yeah, no one's ever going to just come out and, like, you know, break a marathon world record having never competed.
Yeah.
They're going to compete, lose, push themselves, get better, get in rivalries, and then one day become the best.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. And the fifth and final component to making cardio fun is progression. So progression in the context of whatever you did or whatever particular structure you have in your training program is having some progression on those workouts. Obviously, it's been a huge part of triathlon training, marathon training, but has really lacked a proper structure in the last sort of 5 years for mixed modal training for CrossFit until sort of recently. Some of the better coaches, some of the guys like Joel Jameson, who we've had on the podcast, have a great way to kind of build structure and progression for different components of cardio. And it needs just as much time and attention and care in the progression as strength work does as well.
Yeah, I mean, you'll get into like pretty decent shape with almost no progression, right? Just like doing workouts. Just randomness, yeah. And doing it. And you definitely will get in shape, which is why you might think, no, I've got in good shape without that. But if you want to get properly in shape, then there is a you have to progress it. You have to have like week-to-week progression. And you will see that it's a really good way to get the most out of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the only way you can really compete against yourself.
Yeah, and that's what I love about progression is the competition it drives with yourself. It does make it enjoyable. It's okay, last week I did this, I'm going to try and do this week. And I think it also just gives you a chance to feel like you're actually making, well, for lack of a better term, progress. Yeah. Actually making improvements in your fitness. Because sometimes improvements in fitness, if you're just doing random stuff all the time, it's hard to measure. It's like, cool, it's 3-2-1 go. And it's just intense.
And it always feels hard, right?
Yeah.
You're never going to be like, oh, now it's just easy. All cardio is so easy for me.
It always feels hard.
It's always hard. So you always feel like, man, I'm not getting better. Unless you have a test, like maybe you're doing a 10-minute calorie test. Unless you do that, you could be very surprised by how much you have or have not progressed.
Yeah. Whereas it's pretty obvious in strength work. It's like, cool, last week it was 120 and now it's 130. Easy. And now it's six. It was six reps last week. Now it's seven. It's like pretty easy to see improvement. Yeah. And that is what is, those results are what keep building that momentum and what encourage you to come back and give your best. Whereas, yeah, if you don't have that comparable data set in cardio, it can just feel a bit sort of haphazard and random. So making progress there that's measurable, that's easy to kind of see, okay, I'm definitely getting better here, I think helps a lot, which ties into everything. Getting the data, making it competitive can help with all those things. So having structured progression is easier said than done. It takes a complex program. And we've built all that for you. So if you guys didn't know, we have launched Project Fitness, which is our new program, which is designed purely. It's a 5-day-per-week training program with all different types of different types of conditioning progressions. So you've got 5 separate days, which have all different types of cardio. So it's like a long day. There's like an interval intense day. There's like a mixed modal day, and there's progressions on those throughout the weeks. You guys can become a subscriber, jump on straight away. Or if you want, you can just purchase 8 weeks, which is going to feel more or less like a subscriber. You just don't get access to all the other programs when you're on there. But you still use the app. You still get the exercise videos and demonstrations. We've been filming a lot of those, getting those out there. But yeah, it's a good little taster, the 8 weeks. But if you're thinking about becoming a subscriber, you get the 7-day free trial as well.
Yeah, the biggest mistake I reckon I made when I was still training for CrossFit was just making up my cardio workouts as I went.
Yeah.
Because you just base it so much on feelings. Yeah. You're like, oh, today I like want to do a big one or tomorrow. And it's just, like you just it's honestly, not productive. You just don't get that much better that way. And then when I switched to just having an actual fitness program, so just like, yeah, similar workout to the previous week, but improving. There still can be some like fun and variation in the workout, but there's just like an underlying structure to it.
Yeah.
It is like shocking how much you progress.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you haven't done it before, it's like you really will be shocked in how much you progress. If you have like just done random cardio for a long time, it's not like a bad thing. Like lots of people just do cardio workouts and just go for runs and they might try and beat their score that they set a few months ago, a long time ago. That's not really a program. That's just, I guess, reflecting on an old score and trying to beat it sometime later.
Yeah.
It's more of a retest,
it's a test and retest.
That is substantially different to a underlying program that has thought proper throughout training. It and progression week to week, not just retesting.
Yeah, definitely. So you guys can check that out. I mean, even if you want to use our program and take progressions from it and integrate it into your current program, or maybe you just want to take the workouts and throw it on top of what you're doing already, or maybe you want to just do the full Project Fitness program. You guys can check it out at themindmuscleproject.com /fitness. You get it all there. And then remember, guys, at the start of the episode, we talked about Manscaped. You can go to manscaped.com. Use the code MMP20, MMP20, no spaces, for 20% off. And then, of course, you can pick up the best supplements in the world at trueprotein.com.au. They are shipping to the US soon, so stay tuned for that. MindMuscle10, MindMuscle10, no spaces, is the discount code for 10% off anything. I recommend picking up the creatine at the moment. Guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Hopefully, those five things will make your cardio more enjoyable in the future. Tune in again next Thursday for another amazing episode on these sorts of topics. Thanks, guys. Speak soon. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the Mind Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the Mind Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themindmuscleproject.com/The After Show. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.